ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 3 चैप्टर 29 वर्स 43। नमो ददाति स्वसतां,
नमो ददाति स्वसतां,
नभो ददाति स्वसतां,
नमो ददाति स्वसतां,
पदम यन्नियमात अधः लोकं स्वदेहं तनुते महान् सप्तभिरावृतम् नभो ददाति श्वसतां पदम यन्नियमात अधः लोकं स्वदेहं तनुते महान् सप्तभिरावृतम् नभो तस्काय ददाति गिव्स श्वसतां टू द लिविंग एंटिटीज पदम अबोड यत् of whom the supreme personality of God niyama under the control adaha that lokam the universe swadeham own body tanute expands mahan the mahat tattva saptabhi with the seven layers आवृतम कवर्ड ट्रांसलेशन सब्जेक्ट टू द कंट्रोल ऑफ सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड द स्काई अलाउज आउटर स्पेस टू अकोमोडेट ऑल द वेरियस प्लैनेट्स विच होल्ड इन्यूमरेबल लिविंग एंटिटीज द टोटल यूनिवर्सल बॉडी एक्सपैंड विद इट्स सेवन कवरिंग्स अंडर हिज सुप्रीम कंट्रोल ट्रांसलेशन सब्जेक्ट टू द कंट्रोल The supreme personality of Godhead. The sky allows outer space. To accommodate all the various planets. Which holds innumerable living entities. The total universal body. Expands with its seven coverings. Under His supreme control. It is understood from this verse that all the planets in outer space are floating and they all holding living entities. The word Swasatam means those who breathe or the living entities. In order to accommodate them, there are innumerable planets. Every planet is a residence for innumerable living entities. And the necessary space is provided in the sky by the supreme order of the Lord. It is also stated here that the total universal body is increasing. It is covered by seven layers. And as there are five elements within the universe, so the total elements in layers cover the outside of universal body. The first layer is of earth and it is 10 times greater in size than the space within the universe. The second layer is water. And that is 10 times greater than the earthly layer. The third covering is fire, which is 10 times greater than the water covering. In this way, each layer is 10 times greater than the previous one. I'll read verse 44 also. Gunabhimani no deva sargadishu asya yadbhayat vartante nu yugam yesham vasa etacharacharam. Translation. Out of fear of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the directing demigods in charge of the modes of material nature carry out the functions of creation, maintenance and destruction. Everything animate and inanimate within this material world is under their control. The three modes of material nature, namely goodness, passion and ignorance, are under the control of three deities, Brahma, Vishnu and Lord Shiva. Lord Vishnu is in charge of mode of goodness. Lord Brahma is in charge of mode of passion and Lord Shiva is in charge of mode of ignorance. Similarly, there are many other demigods in charge of their air department, the water department, the cloud department, etc. Just as the government has many different departments, so within this material world, the government of the Supreme Lord has many departments. And all these departments function in proper order out of fear of the Supreme Personality of God. Demigods are undoubtedly controlling all matter, animate and inanimate, within the universe. But above them is a supreme controller. Above them, the supreme controller is the personality of Godhead. Therefore, in Brahma Samhita, it is said, Ishvara Parama Krishna. Undoubtedly, there are many controllers in the departmental management of this universe, but the supreme controller is Krishna. There are two kinds of dissolution. One kind of dissolution takes place when Brahma goes to sleep during this night, and the final dissolution takes place when Brahma dies. As long as Brahma does not die, creation, maintenance and destruction are actuated by different demigods under the superintendence of the Supreme Lord. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Shumilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manavishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kalamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapada Kamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesh Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Seeking blessings of all the Vaishnavas. Here it's a continuation from the previous 2-3 verses where Lord Kapila is explaining how out of fear of the Supreme Personality of God everything is operating in this creation. And as soon as we hear that out of fear of Supreme Personality of Godhead, that's what I understood when I read out of fear of Supreme Personality of Godhead. First understanding was that, okay, if someone is not a devotee, then the fear word is or can display a mood which is like a monarch who will make you suffer if you don't follow his instructions. But actually it's the other way. These devatas who are devotees of the Lord, they have affection for the Lord. They have high respect for the Lord. They have some love for the Lord. And out of that love and respect, they follow the instructions of the Lord in terms of managing the creation. And it is not fear as in fear, what we understand as fear. But of course, they know that if they do not follow or if they mismanage the creation, the activities in the creation, then they do get punished. But the fear in itself is not the driving principle of them following the instructions of the Lord in terms of taking care of the creation. So in verse 43 we have heard Prabhupada in his lectures, in his conversations with many scientists, even to his disciples, hitting this point again and again, that don't think that life is only on planet Earth. And in this same purport, Prabhupada begins with that by explaining that when he uses the word Swasatam, means those who breathe or living entities, are there on all the planets in the whole universe, but somehow the few leaders in human society, they're so adamant or they're so proud by thinking that whatever they can understand should be the reality for the rest of the world. Whatever they can understand or whatever they accept by their own means or by their own experiments should become the reality for the rest of the people to follow. Otherwise, it's not a reality, it's myth. And then they give all the logical reasons and arguments to defeat certain arguments. So Srila Prabhupada was always very convinced and very heavy on this point. And then he would give an example that if living entities can live in water, humans cannot live in water, but if living entities can live in water, why can't they live in fire also? And if they can live in fire, why can't they live on sun planet, which is a fiery planet? So like that, logically he would try to defeat these arguments. So here, certain aspects of creation are mentioned, where the universal coverings are explained. And it's very interesting, when you talk about this massive world around us, and then there are countless planets within the universe, which is still increasing in terms of modern scientists, their search or their numbers are increasing, because the universe, the planets are also increasing as they go on searching more. It's amazing, and it's very difficult also to understand that how a person can be responsible for such an intricate creation. Just see this world itself around us. From the smallest thing, to see the beauty of a flower and the intricacy of a flower, and then you go to planetary level, and then okay, all the planets are done. Then there is covering over the planets, which is a covering of Earth. And then the next covering is 10 times greater, and the next is even 10 times greater, and then goes on till all the coverings are done. And that is just one universe. And like that, millions of universes are there, and it comes from the pore of the 8th expansion of Krishna. It's like, like too much to handle. And he is that person whom Mother Yashoda ties, chastises, and he gets fearful, and then he cries. And that's why Acharyas have given amazing poems in amazement. But how to understand it? It's too much to handle. You know, even Kunti Maharani's prayer is there. Gopi adade toi kritaga siddhamatavad jatte dasasru kalilanjana samrabhaksham. No. Vaktram niniya bhiya bhavanaya sthasya samam vimoyati virapiya viveti. I am bewildered to see that person from whom the fear itself is fearful is getting so much fear and crying, and tears are there on his face when Mother Yashoda is trying to bind. So it's very difficult, very hard. If it was not for Prabhupada or Acharyas to explain this, I don't think so. It's possible to even figure this out, at least theoretically also. To get convinced about this fact, very hard. So, now Bhagavatam does explain such facts about creation, and there is an amazing principle of the purpose which Bhagavatam has by explaining this, all these very difficult topics of creation. Two, three times Bhagavatam talks about creation in third canto and then later also. And if a reader is sincerely reading under the guidance of Parampara, then his attraction for the Lord increases, seeing how amazing this person is. I may not know him, but how amazing this person is. So, you know, within that same creation of that amazing Lord, he has made departments. He has made different departments, which is in verse 44, where in the purport Prabhupada writes that similarly, just as the government has many different departments, so within the material world, the government of Supreme Lord also has many departments. So the Supreme Lord also has his government running. And here also we see government running, which changes every 5 years. Hopefully they stay for 5 years. Otherwise in a couple of years they are thrown out by re-election. At least I am here in Australia from last 10 years. I have seen 4 or 5 prime ministers in Australia already. So it just changes. You can't do, you're not capable, change. Why the Supreme Lord's governance stays for so long and perfectly acts with no mismanagement is because his government is not elected. It is selected. There are no elections. There are no elections happening in the universal sphere where Lord Indra is campaigning and trying to get more attention to be the ruler, and then other leaders also are going, other devatas are also going and then campaigning and getting attention, getting more votes. No, the Supreme Lord himself decides who is qualified to be the ruler. So, Srila Prabhupada would say that because the citizens are not qualified, because they are not educated, they should not be allowed to choose the leaders. But the system of democracy is that citizens, they choose the leaders. You know, some weeks back we had a very big program at Melbourne Uni where Devamurti Swami gave a talk on happiness. Huge crowd, 600 students came from Melbourne Uni, very few Indians who had no idea of spirituality and all, but they were interested. So they came, and one of the person asked about current US president. What is your viewpoint and in terms of him getting elected and all that? Maharaj gave a very interesting answer. It was in line with Srila Prabhupada's same mood. He said that the citizens deserve a leader based on their consciousness. Because that's democracy. And whatever your consciousness is, you choose a leader like that. And those leaders, then they control. And then they decide things for you. So very important. But for Supreme Lord's governance, there is no concept of elections. Because he himself personally selects based on the qualification. And because the qualification is the criteria of selecting a leader of in management managemental affairs, they do so perfectly. Nothing goes wrong in his creation. If you see, when Brahmaji has to do creation, he has his own set of people working under him. When Lord Vishnu has to do maintenance, he has his set of own devatas working under him to assist or to make the creation a successful event. But it happens so perfectly that there is no deficiency, and that's why Isopanishad's initial verse, the first verse which talks about, not the first verse of the chapter, but the invocation verse, talks about Om Purnam, Adha Purnam Idam. The Supreme Lord, because he is Purna, he is complete, his emanations which comes from him, which includes this material world, is also complete. And we, the living entities, who are also his expansion, who comes from him, are also complete. Now, how the material world becomes complete or perfect is because it has all the facilities for us, the complete living entities, to realize the Supreme Complete. This complete material world has all the facilities for us to realize the complete. And in that form, this material world is also complete in itself. And why we, the living entities, experience incompleteness? Because we don't work towards realizing the complete. So our completeness depends on our energies directing towards understand the complete. So then we also become complete as living entities. So So in Bhagavatam 8th canto, chapter number 14, the chapter itself is named as Systems of Universal Management. So that's how Srila Prabhupada named it as, to explain, and the whole chapter goes on explaining how different manvantaras come, how different manus, and the creation that happens under the manus, and how this whole management is taking place. So it's not just a random or a very vague understanding where traditionally it's just coming from grandparents to their grandparents that, oh, there is someone called Indra, just worship him. There is someone called Surya, just worship him. There is some other demigod, just worship him. And then traditionally it's just coming down. No, Srimad Bhagavatam goes so systematically by explaining the whole management of system, where all these personalities have such a very important role to play. You know, this is an interesting point again, that so many times in news we hear, oh, there is an asteroid, or there is a big lump of matter coming towards Earth, and this will hit the Earth, and then in few years will be destroyed. So now all the scientists with all their team, they are working towards changing the direction of that big lump of matter coming towards Earth, which might hit the Earth, and certain section of the Earth will be destroyed and all. When these scientists were not even born, who was doing it? And suddenly they come in between and they say that we'll control the situation. What is in practically speaking, the devatas, who are so much under the strict surveillance or control of the Lord, if it has to hit, we tiny miny people of this world with all our gadgets, what can we stop? Literally, these are playing gadgets in terms of, in front of the devatas, if they really have to make a asteroid hit planet Earth and destroy it. There are certain machines, how much can it make a difference? So this understanding of this mood which does come in people, especially when it comes to God or towards the energies of the God, are having three different understandings, which we have heard so many times. One of the category of people are atheist class. They're atheist. They just don't believe that there is someone like God who can exist. And these atheists, which are few, but somehow they are the leaders, somehow, which is the scientist class, or of course not, they are not the leaders, they are actually used to control the masses by few capitalists who are industrialists, whose only goal is to exploit or make money out of people. So now these people, so much of research has gone into understanding who we are, actually, what is our driving principle. And even if they find out that we, a body, is matter, or mind is not the driving principle, but they will never publicly conclude that there is a spiritual being within the body, or soul, something like soul exists. And there are a few reasons for it, but one of the good reason is that soul doesn't come alone. The understanding of soul doesn't come alone. It comes with a package. Because as soon as the soul principle is established in society by the scientists, two things will naturally follow. If we are soul, then reincarnation exists. And if we are soul, then karma also exists. Because soul will continue. We'll take birth again and again and again in different bodies. If we are not matter, whether it's subtle matter or gross matter, and if we are spiritual, and if they conclude, and if they accept it, then these two things has to follow, reincarnation and karma. So then, if just try and understand, if modern day scientists fully, with full heart, propagate with full force that we are soul, we are something spiritual within the body, the whole world industry will collapse. Which industrialists are funding them big time to fool people so that they can accept. If you just speak up any industry, if you are soul and you will have karma, and you will have reincarnation. That means you will have a hellish life, plus you will have a very low birth. Why will you waste your energies in any of the four activities which Prabhupada is condemning? Why will anyone have illicit sex? Why will anyone have? Why will anyone do meat eating? The food industry will collapse. The whole cosmetic industry will collapse. The whole car industry will collapse, because most of the people, they buy expensive cars to attract. And if I am soul, my purpose is just to travel, to commute, then why I need such something very expensive? So the whole system will collapse, and that they will not have let happen for sure. No matter what happens, they'll make sure that doesn't happen. So even if they agree personally, publicly, they will never agree. So this is one type of people who are atheists. Then another type of people are who say, whether it's Krishna, the Supreme Lord, or the Devatas, are similar to them. They may have some more powers, but they are some similar beings to them, and they try to imitate their action. And very classic example Srila Prabhupada gives of Lord Shiva, when he, during the Samudra Manthan times, during the churning of the milk ocean, when the pot of poison, which is actually ocean of poison, comes out, and Lord Shiva drinks it, then seeing that there is a whole community of Lord Shiva's devotee who smoke ganja, because Lord Shiva also drank poison. So on the name of Lord Shiva, there is an imitation happening. Now, when we talk about heavenly planets, oh, Indra, he also drinks somras. Why can't we drink alcohol? I have got this argument personally. People have given me this argument also while talking. When devatas, you are saying they are devotees, they are nice people. When they can drink somras, why can't we drink? Why are you stopping us? So they are trying to match or compete or imitate. They will never imitate examples of like Lord Hanuman, who was nastic brahmachari, who was serving the Lord with full heart. They will not imitate such examples. They will not imitate the example of Lord Shiva's control, of his austerity, of his simplicity. Some sadhus they do, but they smoke ganja also along with that. If you go to Pashupatinath, you see a big number, almost all of them, smoking ganja, getting intoxicated because they get some spiritual realization, which is nothing but hallucination. So, another classic personality who is the most misunderstood amongst all the big personalities is Lord Krishna himself. Where when he does Ras Leela, or he enjoys his loving relationship with the gopis, then there is a tendency to imitate him also. And then in the name of doing what he did, all the nonsense activities that takes place. Recently a politician in India, in one of the state, one government that has changed now, they started some anti-Romeo squad, where they made a full team to stop all the Eve teasers, those who are harassing women. So now this politician comes up on Twitter, because freedom of expression, you know, you can say anything you want to say. But he went beyond the borderline. So he said, why are you harassing people in UP, in one of the states in India, for Eve teasing? Whereas in our own culture, in our own worship, we tease the legendary Eve teaser, Lord Krishna. So this is the understanding. Huh? He uses the word legendary Eve teaser. So he tweets. I am not on Twitter, but I just read the news. And then tweets are following him, smashing him. Someone is saying, why are you saying he is a legendary Eve teaser? And these people are writing the relationship between him and the gopis. People are writing this on Twitter. Was based on gopis' agreement. They are even more materialist. Huh? So then how can you say he is Eve teasing? That's not Eve teasing. That's not molesting. And then someone is commenting that I think he was a little more saner. He said it will take many lifetimes for you to understand Lord Krishna. So don't bother even. So people are just commenting, and this guy is also commenting back and forth that this was not my purpose. My purpose was not to hurt sentiments. But the understanding of imitating is very strong. Right? To use the Lord to achieve our own means. And that's where traditionally in some cultures the scriptures were changed by every king, every ruler who came to fit the need of personal sense enjoyment. We are fortunate. We are very fortunate, at least there may be many different versions of Bhagavad Gita, but at least the text is not tampered. At least the shlokas are as it is. And fortunately, on top of it, Srila Prabhupada came in our lives, who gave the real purport and meanings of those shlokas. Otherwise, so hard. So hard. You know, and there is a nice example which people should know, at least including us as devotees, we should know. You know, if you are driving in car, you might have gone through this experience. Sometimes you are driving parallelly to a train track, and now you are driving in the car and there is a train track driving, running parallel to you, and then suddenly a red light comes to in front of you and you have to stop at the red light, and then you see the train is going, so you can't complain why the train is not stopping on the red light. The rules are different. The rules are very different. And then you're driving, and then there is a plane above you. And then there is a traffic jam, but the plane goes. So you cannot complain. There is no concept of imitation. They operate in different rules altogether. The sphere in which they operate is very different. What to speak of the Lord Himself, who has no rules to follow. He's like a prime minister in a country flying where no rules apply to him. Even for him, the rules apply, because you just can't fly on any height. You have to give full notifications to the whole airspace department or whatever. But still, but on the Supreme Lord, there are no rules apply. Even on demigods, how can we imitate? There's no concept of imitation. Because it's completely different area where they're operating. Train cannot operate like a car. So then this is one type of person who try to compete with the great personalities according to their suit, what suits them, and what particular things within the person suits them. Like Prabhupada would always smash the argument, why don't you go and lift Govardhan Hill then, if you want to imitate Krishna so much? But somehow we don't find examples of people imitating Hanumanji. Brahmachari, boring, not much there. The third category is another very famous category, impersonalist. There is a lot spoken about, smashed. These people are smashed anyways a lot by Prabhupada and his whole movement. So these three categories of people are there. For them to understand the greatness of the Lord as a person is very hard. Who is doing such amazing, wonderful things in terms of the whole creation? If you see the whole creation, just to appreciate this, one of the qualities, when the purport talks about different departments, whether it's the air department, water department, sun is there. You know, sun sets and moon comes, and for us it is taken for granted. Sun will set and moon will come. But how amazingly it's happening that both are not together. They may coincide, but both are not together high in the sky simultaneously. One sets, another comes. And now, because too much of interference of modernization has happened in the natural sequences, system was when sun sets, you take rest. And daytime you work. When sun comes, you start working. Now what modernization has done? It's completely topsy-turvy. And then healths are gone down. It was a very healthy system. Even in Ayurveda, you know, doctors will always ask, very important to have good sleep. Now sleep is such a problem these days. Very different, very completely mixed up. But the Lord's system was so amazing, it's still amazing if we follow it, that when the sun sets, no need to act. And then some people can sleep the same number of hours when the sun is high in the sky, but health still goes down. You can still sleep 8-9 hours during the day. But because the system is not followed, where the Lord's system is not followed, and night you are awake, night shifts or taxi or supermarkets or whatever we do, call centers, but healths are gone, it's finished. This is amazing system of the Lord, if followed properly. So, and that's why in the management system of the Lord, there is no concept of election, it is selection. Because being a creator, he knows very well what is important, what is helpful, what is not helpful, what is required, what is not required. So, that's why Prabhupada, I think one place he says, talks about democracy is demoncracy. This is demoniac. This is spoiled the system. And because it's democracy, then certain leaders, because they are funded well by very few people who are controlling the planet Earth, everything goes by their will. And we who choose them are just puppets following and destroying ourselves. The planet, the health, mentally, physically, totally. So that's why Srimad Bhagavatam is our hope to whatever practical way we can apply in our lives. In this situation, the what we are living in now. And it talks about so much in depth, the creation in such a detail, so we can attract, we can develop a very, very, very deep, intelligent, with knowledge, attraction towards the Supreme Lord. Not a sentimental attraction, but a very reasonable, logical, with full understanding, attraction towards that very amazing Supreme Lord, who is a person, very difficult to understand, but a relationship can be established with him. So, you know, in the last part of the purport, there are two kinds of dissolution. One kind of dissolution takes place when Brahma goes to sleep during his night, and the final dissolution takes place when Brahma dies. Now, just to understand the life of Brahma, one day of Brahma, and then his whole life, which is just one breathing of the Supreme Lord, millions and millions and millions of earthly years, is just one breath of the Lord. Now, if you tell someone and they say this is a person also, human brain cannot adjust to that. But by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, who is infinite, this is one of the arguments Mayavadis also give, that he is infinite. Many Christians on street also, they have given, when you do books, they say, he is infinite, he is everything, he is supreme. How can you understand? How can you understand him? It's impossible. And you claiming to understand something about him is also Satan, evil, or it's mental block that you have. But if he is actually infinite, which he is, then he has infinite potencies to explain the finite about his infinite potencies also. If he is infinite, he can make we, the finite, very limited people, understand how amazing he is, and who he is, what he is doing, where he is right now, all the details, because he is infinite. And his infinite potencies have one of the potencies also, which is his kripa, his mercy shakti, kripa shakti. And through that kripa shakti, we can become kripa siddhi. We can become perfect by the mercy of the Lord. We can become. So that's his mercy. And as devotees, we don't make big claims. We don't present ourselves as big scholars. But what we present, at least for myself, what we present ourselves, or should present ourselves, is thank you for using us in whatever way you can, and please keep using us. I'll stop there. If any questions or comments or any points to discuss.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhuji. Any alternative to run a state? Actually, it's on that point. He is saying that Prabhupada criticizes democracy, but has Prabhupada given any alternative to run a state? I was hearing a thing. What is this? Who was that Prabhupada's disciple? PhD Pro. Not Sarvadhamma Maharaj. No, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu. Ravindra Swarup Prabhu. He was telling in his memories, one of his memories, that in US, few devotees, at Prabhupada's time, they decided that let's go for elections. Have a party, a Krishna conscious party, and go for elections. And then they started some things, and Prabhupada got to know, and Prabhupada sent a letter to all of them, stop immediately. Our purpose is to propagate Krishna consciousness. Our purpose is not politics. So what my understanding on this is, Prabhupada was acting or was creating a society of brahmanas who would influence the kshatriyas or the leaders, or guide the kshatriyas or the leaders in future to how to run a state, instead of we running a state. Is it correct? So he wanted to create, he wants to create a society of brahmanas. And if you see the Vedic culture, brahmanas would not run the state. But kings would not do anything without consulting brahmanas also. So if you see Mahabharata or Ramayana, all would have rishis next to them. But they were not the rulers who were enjoying the opulence, because as a brahmana or as a ruler, you have to enjoy certain opulences. You have to operate in mode of passion. Even though you may be a great devotee, you have to. Sense enjoyment is freely available. But brahmana, he refrains from that. And he only gives his advice. A very famous example Prabhupada gives about is Chanakya Pandit. When Chanakya was working under the king, he would not take any favors from the king. And he had one lamp, very good quality lamp. And when he would do the work of the king, he would turn that lamp on. And when personal work was required, he would turn that off and he would turn on this old lantern, that very low quality, third grade. And someone asked, why? You have the option, no? He said, no, that belongs to the king, and for his work, I will use it. Otherwise, for my personal work, I will not use it. Because as soon as I start using for my personal work his property, then I can't give him wise advice. Then I can't give him cutting advice, real advice. Sometimes in preaching also, taking favors from other people can be detrimental in you guiding the other person. So especially from a senior, if someone is taking favors from someone who is new, then what if he doesn't give next time? What if he gets upset? And on my birthday gift doesn't come? What if he gets upset with me? So like that. So with that principle, Prabhupada wanted to create a society who will just selflessly guide. But for that, to make that happen, we have to increase our influence more, actually. So that leaders recognize us and come to the devotees for guidance. I think, is it correct?
Arjun sir, thank you very much for a nice lecture. You have so many points. One important thing now, we have got many holy plans. Malcolm Turnbull is now in India for the last 4 days. And Akshay Dham. If we have Prime Minister like Narendra Modi, please can go to India and come.
from my side.
No, only. Sorry.
You can say, I cannot. I'm in front of the camera. Anything else? Yes, Raj. Yeah, true.
So he said that if we don't imitate, we follow the orders of
Krishna. Exactly, yes.
If we don't imitate Krishna, we can heal. I can get the heal. Or what marriage 16,000 men is one wife. So he follows the order, but not imitate.
It's a real story. Real incident. He was speaking about the imitation part, where he's probably saying that how people do imitate but they don't follow the instructions. And like Lord Krishna has 16,108 queens and all that. When I was working as a travel agent, one of the customer came to me and he was from a certain culture and he was heavy. Suddenly he saw Kanti Mala and he just started. He forgot what he came for and he just started smashing, giving all the arguments. He said, your God has 16,108 wives. No, he was speaking something about Krishna. Then I gave a counter argument that, come on, he has 16,108 queens. He said in our culture also there is a person who had 16,000 wives. But then when I said, was he available with them all the time? You shut. So that imitation can be possible. Can that imitation be possible to stay with all of them simultaneously all the given time? Very hard. Not hard, it's impossible. It's undoable. Narad Muni was traveling with the speed of the mind from palace to palace, palace to palace. And he saw all of them simultaneously with all the wives, all the Krishnas. And then when the family time finishes, all 16,108 Krishna comes out, becomes one Krishna, goes to Uddhava in the assembly to do the managerial affairs. All 16,000 coming together. So when you say that, this point, then say, this is all mythology. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they'll criticize Krishna having 16,108 queens.
That's what Prabhupada explained about the eight siddhis.
Eight siddhis, yes.
There's a siddhi perfection where you can expand your
forms
up to nine times.
Yes.
So if you have nine arms, suppose as a eight siddhi perfection, nine arms. So it's not that each arm can do different things at the same time. The nine arms will only move at the same time.
Yeah.
When you move your arms like this, all the nine arms can move. So they can be made Krishna.
Yeah. Actually, modernization has outnumbered that nine arms, or nine personalities. They have millions of televisions showing the same thing at the same time everywhere. And that's why bother worrying about siddhis? Most of the siddhis are already being, science has already gone beyond. I can float over the water, but you can go alone. But I can take a ship with hundreds of people on float on the, over the water. So it's gone beyond those siddhis. But devotion, modernization cannot even touch. Siddhis, they have already gone beyond. I can fly in the sky. You can fly alone. I can take 500 people with me in a plane. Gone beyond. So millions of television doing the same activity. They have the so, but when it comes to have relation, loving, affectionate relationship with the Supreme Lord, nothing material can do it. And that's why devotees are have zero interest in these siddhis, because it is just material. It is just material. And material things are not going to take us anywhere. Anything else? Hare Krishna. Grantharashmi Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanand, Hari Hari Om.